Good evening. 7 weeks ago, I announced a new economic policy to stop the rise in prices, to create new jobs, to protect the American dollar. Tonight, I want to report to you about that new policy's been working, to describe how that policy will be continued. On the international front, I'm glad to report substantial progress in our campaign to create new monetary stability and to bring a new fairness to world trade. Just as this nation welcomes foreign competition, we have a right to expect that our trading partners abroad will welcome American competition. It is a healthy development that the world has come to understand that America believes in free trade as long as it's fair trade. This will mean more sales of American goods abroad and more jobs for American workers at home. Further, on the job front, the House of Representatives yesterday passed a task program based on my recommendations that will create an additional 500,000 new jobs in the coming year. I call upon the Senate, which has begun hearings in this bill today, to act as promptly as the House so that we can move forward to our goal of full employment at peacetime. Tomorrow morning, Secretary Connally and I will meet, Senator Russell Long, Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, to discuss this program. On the inflation front, I can report to you tonight that the wage price freeze has been remarkably successful. Figures you heard in your evening newscasts bear out. Bear this up. The figures that you probably heard, the figures in your evening newscasts, which bear this up. Wholesale prices in September posted the biggest decline in 5 years, and the price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time in 7 years. Success of this first step of the rising prices belongs to the American people. It is you who have shown a willingness to cooperate in combating inflation. It is you who have answered the call to put the public interest ahead of the special interest. You have made possible this strong beginning in our all-out effort to hold down the cost of living. Thousands of letters poured to the White House since I announced the anti-inflation program on August 15th. Listen to what people all across America have had to say about this program. I'm a school teacher in New Jersey. I am a widow, raising 2 sons in my teacher's salaries, and I will lose around $300 because of the freeze. Yet I sincerely feel that we must all support your efforts to bring the economy to balance. From a wage earner in Landtag, New York, as one who is expecting an increase in income this December, let me say that I will be gladly go without it if it will help curb inflation. I will gladly go without it. That will curtail inflation. On the behalf of a government employee in Pampa, Texas, we are willing as a family to forego raises in order to see stability in prices. Let us all hope that Americans will once again realize that we must be willing to sacrifice for a long-range goal and once again have pride in our country. From a man in Klamath Falls, Oregon, your administration's recent freeze on wages and prices means that I will not receive the 4% raise that was written into my contract this year. Nevertheless, I support your efforts to halt inflation, including the wage freeze. The fight against inflation is everyone's battle. Those of others who have written similar letters to me over the past 7 months, I want you to know how much it means to hear that most Americans will put their country's interest above their personal interest in fighting the battle. Now let's look at the future. Because of our strong beginning, because of the determination Americans have shown to pull together during the freeze, I am confident that our further action on stopping inflation will succeed as well. Planning ahead, I have consulted over the past 7 weeks with scores of representatives of labor, business, and farmers, and senators, top state and local governments.
They've been virtually unanimous in their belief. The battle against inflation must be fought here and now. They are together in their determination to win that battle. Consequently, I am announcing tonight that when the 90-day freeze is over, November 13th, we shall continue our program of wage and price restraint. We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning. We are going to stay in it till we do win. I am appointing a price commission to hold down prices. It would be made up of persons outside of government, all public men, not beholden to any special interest group. Price commission will develop yardsticks, will be empowered to restrain price and rent increases to the necessary minimum to prevent windfall profits. Its goal will be to continue to drive down the rate of inflation. That goal, however, can only be achieved with the active cooperation of working men, businessmen, farmers, consumers, members of the Congress, of our state and local governments. That means all of us. I am also appointing a pay board to stop inflationary wage and salary increases, the kind of increases that do not really benefit the working man. For example, in the past 6 years, workers have received big wage increases. But every WICO worker knows that these increases have practically all been eaten up by a rise in the cost of living. The pay board is made up of representatives of labor, management, and employment. Both the price commission and the pay board will seek voluntary cooperation of business and labor, but they will be backed by the authority of law to make their decisions stable. Their staffs will be small. Stabilization must be made to work, not by an army of bureaucrats, but by an all-volunteer army of patriotic citizens. Every law of life. The Living Council, which is headed by the Secretary of the Treasury, will have the power to back up the pay board and the price commission with government sanctions where necessary. Our experience over the past 7 weeks conclusively demonstrates that the vast majority of Americans will cooperate wholeheartedly with the system of voluntary restraint. If there are any who try to take advantage of the patriotic cooperation of all Americans, I can assure you that the government must be and will be prepared to act against them. I have asked today, I have asked today, bipartisan meeting of members of the Congress, and I have been gathered them today. I have asked the Congress to extend for 1 year the Economic Stabilization Act, which gives the President the power it needs to act to stop inflation. Holding the line against inflation means holding all the line. Consequently, I am appointing a government committee on interest and dividends to apply yardstick to both these areas. Dr. Arthur Perkins, Chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. The nation needs interest rates as low as they can be to meet the credit requirements of American banks on equitable terms, to stimulate non-inflationary economic expansion. I'm confident this will be accomplished on a voluntary basis. To safeguard, however, I will ask the Congress for standby controls over interest rates today. Let me turn now to the subject of profits. Many of my good friends advise me that the only politically popular position today is to be against profits. But let us recognize an unassailable fact of economic life. All Americans will benefit from more profits. More profits fuel the expansion and generates more jobs. More profits means more investment, will make our goods more competitive. More profits means there will be more tax revenue pay for the programs that help people in need. That's why higher profits in the American economy would be good for every person in America. Windfall profits, however, are quite another matter. When wages and other costs are held down, even though prices are also held down, circumstances could arise in some cases that might generate exorbitant profits. In the few cases where this happens, rather than tax such profits, the price commission's policy will be that business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer by cutting prices. have lived too long in this country with an inflation psychology. Everybody just assumes the only direction for prices, the only way direction for prices is to go up. The direction for prices to go is up. The time has come for some price reduction psychology. Let's see some prices go down. Not only in the public interest, but it makes good competitive business sense. Summing up these actions to stop the rise in cost of living, this is what we will do, what we will not do. We will permit some adjustments in prices and wages where fairness connects, but we will not permit inflation to flare up again. We will concentrate on those major portions of the economy that are the primary causes of inflation, but we will not hesitate to take action against any part of the economy that fails to comply. We will continue price and wage restraints until inflationary pressures are brought under control, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of American life. When they are no longer needed, we will get rid of them. We will rely primarily on the good faith and voluntary cooperation of the American people to make this program work. But we will not let any selfish interest escape the fair enforcement of the law. I call upon all of you tonight to look at this program not as Democrats or Republicans, workers or businessmen, farmers or consumers, but as Americans. Let us recognize this profound truth. What is best for all of us is best. What is best for all of us is best for each one of us. We cannot afford a business as usual attitude anywhere, because fighting invasion is everybody's business. Let us look for a moment now in the future. 1972 will be a very good year for the American economy. Let me broaden that as well. Coming year can be more than a very good year for the American economy. It can be a great year for America and the world. It can be a year, for the first time in 15 years, that we can achieve our goal of prosperity in time of peace. It can be a year in which great progress can be made toward our goal of full employment without the inflation that robbed working people of the full value of the dollar they earn. It can be a year in which the American competitive spirit is reborn. We open up new markets for our goods abroad and new careers for our working men at home. It can be a year in which we and our international trading partners build upon the most significant initiative in monetary affairs in 25 years. A year in which we replace the crisis-prone system of the past with a new system attuned to the future. It can be a year in which historic events will take place on the international scene. Events that could affect the peace of the world in the next generation, and even in the next century. We often hear people say, these are troubled times. I say these are great, exciting times. We are at the threshold of a great new era, an era of change and challenge and change. We have an unparalleled opportunity to create a better world for ourselves and for our children. Let us dedicate ourselves tonight to make the most of our opportunity. Join in a great common act to stop inflation and to create a new prosperity for the world.
charge Bowman today. John Rumsfeld has accepted an assignment.
Did he read it?
Yeah. Very excited about it.
About him?
You think you ought to announce it tonight? You ought to put a sentence in saying that as a separate part of it. Lock up the continuity.
Announce it, but what is his assignment, as you call it?
You asked, well, the way...
He's going to be the executive director of the town.
Yeah, but his idea, and I think he's right, is not to call it executive director so that it doesn't put it exactly the same as the Army Weber slot, but rather to say director of operations or to direct the operations of... You've asked Councilor Rumsfeld to become a member of the House of Living Council and serve as a director of his operations. Serve full-time as his director of operations.
Well, in the 18 sentences now.
Post restricted. He's got one. Sapphire has to bid to write one sentence for you.
No. I'll just make it up myself. I can hear it now.
That puts a level of importance on it that probably is pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's something that can't be... Presidential Council report. So... I don't want to say you're accepting all bullshit. No, sir, as the... I just... Full-time director of what? The full-time director of the council.
The operations. The full-time director of the operations at the House of Living Council serve as the post restricted.
Thank you.
consultation?
Sure. We have consulted, of course, I think.
Do you have Mrs. Mallard?
Yes, sir.
She had a big program.
She had a whole group in today. She had one of the, she had one of the biggest groups. She really gave them a treatment. She's changed her own plans now. That's why I tonight the West Coast is one of the super deputy.
She's going herself.
Yeah, she should. Openly, big consumer federation meeting, wanting to break speech with the public and praising what she did tonight, what it means, and so on.
All the consumer types are there.
She ought to have to cut prices. That's the option. You know, that's what I put in on the, on which one. You did probably hear that paragraph. I worked it out in a way that is finally satisfied with what we limited it, but made it sound like they all but I point out that but with all comments, you're quite a little bit. Also with all comments, you're very good at the job. And the cases where this happens, rather than tax such excess profits, the Price Commission's policy will be that business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer by cutting prices. We live too long in this country with inflation psychology. Everybody just assumes the only direction for prices to go is up. Time has come for some price reduction psychology. Let's see some prices go down. Now, that is a good demagogy, but it is the total truth, and it's time for you to go now. Another thing is that the bottle of money outfit is marveled at the time that we lost the chain stores and buyers have been directed.
They've been pouring hell out of the freezer. They'll take this. We're cutting prices.
We are cutting prices. They won't.
It's
really, I said, one of the few times I get it back to them, I said, you know, we had a figure today. I said, let me emphasize that 1 month doesn't prove it, because when we get bad figures, we always say, and I want to say this about these good figures. I said, it's the line sapphire had a target lead. He said it's the first time that industrial price index has gone down in 7 years.
No, not 3.5. The adjustment. When you adjust.
You adjusted the industrial price.
He said it's the first time it's gone down in 7 years. Goddamn well, better be right. Wholesale prices have posted the biggest decline in 5 years. And the price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time in 7 years. Sapphire. If he had said that it's the biggest decline in 7 years, I would agree. It must be the price. But I can't believe
it is the biggest decline.
Well, I know that. But I can't believe industrial prices never have gone down.
I don't have to give the important thing here, but on a seemingly adjusted basis, this is the first time in over 3 years that we've decreased the overall.
That's not what he should. That was the added first time. But he went back, found it was 7 years. Carried it back, and didn't have to change the tax to give the price. Thought you looked it up, but check was not.
The sensation figure is for those 3 years of savings.
Yeah. Bill, I just checking back again to be sure we're correct on that. This is the first time in 7 years that industrial prices have declined. That's what it says. Declined. They've never gone down in 7 years, or is it the biggest decline in 7 years? The wholesale prices, the biggest decline in 5 years. That I can buy. But what this says now is this is the first time in 7 years that industrial prices have declined. But not adjusted, but we'll call it decline. Well, I don't believe it, so. Seven, is what that's in the text. Seasonally adjusted. Well, I don't think they need to. You don't, because that's good. I don't think you're sort of like, they say, of course, it's over the old custom. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I got that, Michael. Yeah, they want it. You think it's a problem that means a lot to him, that's the whole point. No, no, I don't want this line. I haven't got 40, 50 words, I can put it in five, so, okay. Whole paragraph, so. Like, where's my word? Check it.
Sensational figure. All of it comes in three. The only thing that went up was something that occurred before the.
Yeah.
Sure means you're working in that line, you read me, but you decided to start this fight against inflation.
We went.
Sure. both of them said, if they feel, they may not feel, they don't have to feel confidence in the economy, they have to feel confidence that the president is doing the right thing.
Cares about it.
Not even the right things, he's doing something.
The thing is, Bob.
It has to be the right thing.
The thing is, Bob, is that our major failure in the administration has been, and we thought we were doing better. But their whole thing, it's frankly the philosophy of our people, our government. Just do a good job, and people are gonna find out. God, then, if they don't, sure, we do do a lot of it, but you know what I mean? We have wonderful little meetings in the cabinet. Everything has gotta be showboat, everything's gotta be glamour.
Sure, you have, ever since China, Mr. President, the type of coverage has changed, really, has been activist.
Yeah, but we, as a matter of fact, we've had a hell of a lot of activism before. November 3rd was active, Cambodia was active.
Yeah, but it was active.
Laos was not, it hurts.
But you were doing things that they didn't like. That the press didn't like.
Yeah, we were.
Sure, it was active.
We've done other things, so,
I'm not sure they had the bread and butter gut appeal, this economic issue with COVID, but I absolutely think that's.
You're being treated, reported now, the way you were in the early part of the administration, when there was a certain awe about Nixon and the new president, and a little mystery and all that sort of thing. And then you became familiar, and the war went on, and all that started eroding. And they decided you were open, and they could kick you around like they wanted to, and they started doing it.
That's right.
Then China came along, and that shook the Jesus out of them, and then the economic thing. And I think they're back treating you with the kind of sort of awe, not affection, but.
Well, but the tone of the coverage is different.
It is. It's changed. And it's the kind of tone that we had for the first 6 months.
These folks are also in commercial endeavors, and I know that very well, but they can't kick you that hard when the public is strongly behind you. I'm absolutely convinced from this and from the people that are here that you're a great deal stronger than they are 6 weeks ago. These figures, I don't know whether they're precise, I don't know if they're, but the movement is right. And I think they're correct.
And I think approval would show the shift now too.
But that's very good.
This weekend or next week?
This week. Oh, this week, I'm sure. That's what I'm speaking for.
Either this weekend or next week, and we want to have. Yeah, it would be good for us.
Either next week.
It would be better this weekend, it would be good.
Yeah, that just for China. Bad. Dr. Strike.
Well, it takes time to let some of these things settle in.
Economic policy, then you're not going to be a negative, you won't be a positive, just keep them going.
You get some positive, you will start with this thing.
I think so.
Because you're keeping things going.
Exactly.
And people think it's the right thing to do, and then you want.
Awful.
Businessmen, what, 90 to 8?
Awful.
About 335 survey for Asian business that depends on how that goes. August is fantastic.
Something about that. I'm going to start reflecting on it.
Well, your market squeezed up a little bit today. With 18 million, maybe 8 million shares, that was a big
deal. A lot of profit.
Well, the interesting thing was that
it didn't take off the drop after yesterday's night,
which came in the last hour of the market. Just everybody thought this morning that would chisel down to maybe a 4 or 5 point gain. It actually went up 1 second. Which means that yesterday's game held. And a lot of buying pressure.
What?
A lot of buying pressure.
1.21. Start moving. The economy starts moving. The market will go to 1,200.
It will go well over 1,000. Just that would be a good thing.
Well, the retail pickup is starting, right?
Well,
faster than
it is.
I know.
I've got a couple of sensational weeks. He just came today and said that the last 4 weeks now average 9%, which is significantly above the 7 that we're running. And there's 1 week down to 13%. But they're running by 7 before 3. August 15th, they're now running average of 9.
But I suppose a lot of that's automobiles.
Well, it's as I indicated, it's automobiles, but it's also furniture, it's apparel. Automobiles are the biggest component. They're up 35% of the year. And you've had models changing early this year and last, so that affects it somehow. Says that the consumer conference is changing, which he learns next week. First paragraph, that's something that we can walk down.
It's a really important matter because most people like, more people watch football than baseball.
That's what we can do.
Difference between those, however, is this.
Their participation.
25% of watch football play
all both. The 60% of watch play football, watch football, no one play. Zero play.
Well, in fact, I think I've got many good stories. I'm not fresh this week.
Well, there's still quite a bit, there'll be quite a bit coming as the legislative, as the tax package comes through.
Yeah,
that's right.
Every year they have a war story. That'll be come along. There'll be some war stories. That ought to be, I think they, I can't see how that can possibly help.
Well, the stones, they can keep it in, I guess.
I've heard that we both can. As I thought, because we both let us speak of the spirit. That's true. He's kind of optimistic. He was, I said, you're putting up a good fight, Bill, and that's what really counts. He said, well, you're doing all right. You know,
back in your speech about industrial commodity prices declining for 307 years of that year. Well,
seven.
How long then?
7 years. That's terrific. The employment, unemployment story tomorrow is a good story also.
Even with the that would be fine.
Yeah, because it is what we suspected. I just got the figures. Employment rose substantially in September while unemployment remained virtually unchanged. There was an increase in jobs.
No labor force.
But they factored the return to school, therefore held the rate at 6.0. But there was an actual decline of 200,000 in unemployed this month. But there's, what they're saying is that that's all people went back to school.
I never said that in July. That was all people coming out of school.
There were about 4.8 million unemployed persons in September after allowance for the usual exit from the labor force and return to school and then some of that debt. The seasonally adjusted unemployment level was therefore virtually unchanged. That's an actual decline of 200,000 without. No, but it's a good figure, I'm sorry.
You don't want to do anything to keep it going.
The main thing. It was not higher and it came down a little bit. Well, edge down, is that what they call it?
They'll say edge down. Well, no, the newspapers will. This will say that employment rose substantially. That's the week we have to write. It's a strong week. Well, unemployment remained virtually unchanged after allowance for seasonal adjustment. We have another month to say that it's different. Dan, are you there?
Yeah.
Great.
They call it code enforcement. This isn't a legal strike, it must be a way.
It's a wire service very, quite very straight. That makes it, that is the. Aye.
Lexi, this is a hell of a lot better time to do it, Rob, than nine.
Well, yeah, it's fair for you, isn't it?
Well, yes, because I don't have to wait so long.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's try this a few times. Didn't get a hell of a lot of beeping about doing it at this time? We're not cutting the network through.
No, the network's the local.
The audience will be, but we'll never. Only question I would really like to know though is whether we can let that West Coast. A lot of them will catch it from the car radios, but I'd like to know what they did to them. Would you follow directly? But each, what they did in each one out there, whether they did carry it in the evening.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Good evening. 7 weeks ago, I announced a new economic policy. To stop the rise in prices, to create new jobs, and to protect the American dollar. Tonight I want to report to you about how that new policy has been working and to describe how the policy will be continued. On the international front, I'm glad to report substantial progress in our campaign to create a new monetary stability and bring a new fairness to world trade. Just as this nation welcomes foreign competition, we have a right to expect that our trading partners abroad will welcome American competition. It is a healthy development that the world has come to understand that America believes in free trade as long as it is fair trade. This will mean more sales of American goods abroad and more jobs for American businessmen at home. Further on the job front, the House of Representatives just yesterday passed a tax program based on my recommendations that will create an additional 500 million jobs in the coming year. 500 million jobs in the coming year. I call upon the Senate, which has begun hearings in this bill today, to act as promptly as the House so that we can move forward to our goal of full employment peacetime. Secretary Connally and I will meet tomorrow morning with Senator Russell Wall, Louisiana, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, to work on this program. On the inflation front, I can report to you tonight that the wage price freeze has been remarkably successful. The figures you heard tonight in your evening broadcast, bear this out. Wholesale prices in September posted the biggest decline in 5 years, and the price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time in 7 years. The primary credit to the success of this first step in fighting against rising prices belongs to you, the American people. It is you who have shown a willingness to cooperate and fight against inflation. It is you who have answered the call for the public interest ahead of the special. You have made possible this strong beginning and an all-out effort to hold down the cost of living. Thousands of letters reported to the White House since I announced the inflation program August 15. Listen to what people all across America from all walks of life have to say about that program. Here's one from a school teacher in New Jersey. I am a widow, raising two sons in my teacher's salary. I will lose about $300 because of the freeze. Yet I sincerely feel we must all support your efforts to bring the economy. Here's one from a wage earner and went ahead in New York. As one who is expecting an increase in income this December, let me say, I will gladly go without it if that will help curtail the inflation. Here's a letter from the wife of a government employee in Pampa, Texas. We are willing as a family to forego raises in order to see stability in prices. Let us all hope that Americans will once again realize that we must be willing to sacrifice for a long-range goal and once again have pride in our country. And here's a letter from a man in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Your administration's recent freeze on wages and prices means that I will not receive the 4% raise that was written into my contract this year. Nevertheless, I support your efforts to halt inflation, including the wage freeze. The fight against inflation is everybody's fight. I want to thank the thousands of people who have written similar letters
since my speech along this bill. I want you to know how much it has meant to me to hear that most Americans will put their country's interests above personal interests in fighting the battle against inflation. Now let us look to the future. Because of our strong beginning, because of the determination Americans have shown to pull together during the freeze, I am confident that our further action in stopping inflation will succeed as well. Planning ahead, I have consulted in the past 7 weeks with scores of representatives of labor and business, of farmers and consumers, and the Congress and state and local governments. They have been virtually unanimous in their belief that the battle against inflation must be fought here and now. They are together in their determination to win that battle. Consequently, I am announcing tonight that when the 90-day freeze is over on November 13, we shall continue our program of wage and price restraint. We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning. We are going to stay in it until we do it. I am appointing a price commission to hold down prices. It was made up of persons outside of government, all public members, not beholden to any special interest group. The price commission will develop yardsticks, will be empowered to restrain price and rent increases to the extent necessary, and to prevent windfall profits. Its goal will be to continue to drive down the rate of inflation. This goal, however, can only be achieved with the active cooperation of working men and businessmen, farmers and consumers, members of the Congress, of our state and local government. That means all of us. I'm also appointing a pay board to stop inflationary wage and salary increases, the kind of increases that don't really benefit the working man. For example, in the past 6 years, workers have received big wage increases. Yet every wife of a worker knows these increases have practically all been eaten up by the rise in the cost of living. The pay board will be made up of representatives of labor management and the public. Both the price commission and the pay board will seek voluntary cooperation from business and labor, but they will be backed by the authority of law to make their decisions stick. Their staffs will be small. Stabilization must be made to work not by an army of bureaucrats, but by an all-volunteer army of patriotic citizens in every walk of life. Cost of Living Council, which is headed by the Secretary of the Treasury, will have the power to back up the pay board and the price commission with government sanctions where necessary. I have named Councilor Runfeld to become a member of that council, and he will be the full-time director of the council operations. Secretary Connolly, chairman of the council, will be on television tomorrow, live, for all the press conference to answer technical questions about the new program. Our experience over the past 7 weeks proves conclusively that the vast majority of the Americans will cooperate wholeheartedly with the system of voluntary restraint. But if there are any who try to take advantage of the patriotic cooperation of their fellow Americans, I can assure you that this government must be and will be prepared to act against them. For that reason, I have today, and I have this afternoon, a meeting with the bipartisan leaders of the Congress, legislative leaders, ask the Congress to extend for 1 year the Economic Stabilization Act, which gives the President the power he needs to act to stop inflation. Holding the line against inflation means holding all the line. Consequently, I am appointing the Government Committee on Interest and Dividends to apply a yardstick to both these areas, led by Dr. Arthur Byrne, Chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. The nation needs interest rates as low as they can be to meet the credit requirements of American families in equitable terms, to stimulate non-inflationary economic expansion. I am confident this can be accomplished on a voluntary basis. To safeguard, however, I will ask the Congress for standby controls over interest rates and dividends. Let me turn now to the subject of costs. Many of my good friends have advised me that the only politically popular position to take is to be against profits. Let us recognize an unassailable fact of economic life. All Americans will benefit from more profits. More profits fuel the expansion that generates more jobs. More profits means more investment that will make our goods more competitive. More profits means more tax revenues to pay for the programs that help people in need. That's why higher profits in the American economy will be good for every person in America. Windfall profits, however, is quite another matter. When wages and other costs are held down, even though prices are also held down, circumstances could arise in some cases that might generate exorbitant profits. In the few cases where this happens, rather than tax such excess profits, the Price Commission's policy will be that business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer by cutting prices. We've lived too long in this country with an inflation psychology. Everybody just assumes the only direction for prices to go is up. Well, the time has come for some price reduction psychology. Let's see some prices go down. This is not only in the public interest, but it makes good competitive business sense. Summing up these actions to stop the rise in the cost of living, this is what we will do and what we will not do. We will permit some adjustments of prices and wages that fairness demands, but we will not permit inflation to flare up again. We will concentrate on those major portions of the economy that are the primary causes of inflation, but we will not hesitate to take action against any part of the economy that fails to comply. We will continue price and wage restraints until inflationary pressures are brought under control, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of American life. When they are no longer needed, we will get rid of them. Primarily in the good faith and voluntary cooperation of the American people to make this program work, but we will not let any selfish interest escape the fair enforcement of the law. I call upon all of you tonight to look at this program not as Democrats or Republicans, workers or businessmen, farmers or consumers, but as Americans. Let us recognize this profound truth. What is best for all of us is best for each one of us. Let us recognize for our truth. What is best for all of us is best for each one of us. We cannot afford a business as usual attitude anywhere because fighting inflation is everybody's business. Let us look for a moment to the future. I have said that 1972 will be a very good year for the American economy. Let me broaden that out. The coming year can be more than a very good year for the American economy. It can be a great year for America and the world. It can be a year, the first time in 15 years, in which we can achieve our goal of prosperity in time of peace. It can be a year in which great progress can be made toward our goal of full employment without the inflation that robs working people of the full value of the dollars they save. It can be a year in which the American competitive spirit is reborn as we open up new markets for our goods abroad and new careers for our working people. It can be a year in which we and our international trading partners build upon the most significant initiative in monetary affairs in 25 years. A year in which we replace the crisis chrome system in the past. With a new system attuned to the future. It can be a year in which historic events will take place on the international scene. Events could affect the peace of the world in the next generation, and even the next century. We often hear people say, these are troubled times. I say these are great and exciting times. We are at the threshold of a great new era, an age of movement and of challenge and of change. We have an unparalleled opportunity to create a better world for ourselves and for our children. Let us dedicate ourselves to make the most of that opportunity, to join in a great common effort to stop inflation and to create a new prosperity in a world of peace. 7 weeks ago, I announced a new economic policy to stop the rise in prices. Good evening. 7 weeks ago, I announced a new economic policy to stop the rise in prices, to create new jobs, and protect the American dollar. Tonight, I want to report to you about that new policy, how it has been working, to describe how that policy will be continued. On the international front, I am glad to report substantial progress in our campaign to create a new monetary stability and bring a new fairness to world trade. Just as this nation welcomes foreign competition, we have a right to expect that our trading partners abroad will welcome for America. The world has come to understand that America believes in free trade as long as it's fair trade. This will mean more sales for American goods abroad, more jobs for American workers at home. Further in the job front, the House of Representatives yesterday passed a tax program based on my recommendations that will create an additional 10 million, an additional half million new jobs in the coming year. I call upon the Senate, which has begun hearings in this bill today, to act as promptly as the House so that we can move forward to our goal of full-time employment, full employment in peace now. Secretary Treasury, Secretary Connolly, and I will be meeting in the morning with the Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Russell Long of Louisiana, to further discuss this program. On the inflation front, I can report to you tonight that the wage price freeze has been remarkably successful. As you heard in your evening newscast, the figures bear this out. Wholesale prices in September posted the biggest decline in 5 years, and the price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time in 7 years. Primary credit for the success of this first step in the fight against rising prices belongs to you, the American people. It is you who have shown a willingness to cooperate in the campaign against the government. It is you who have answered the call of the public interest ahead of the special interest. You have made possible this strong beginning in our all-out effort to hold down the cost of living. Thousands of letters reported to the White House since I made my announcement on August 15th. Listen to what people all across America from all walks of life have to say about this program. From a school teacher in New Jersey, I am a widow raising two sons on my teacher's salary. I will lose about $300 because of the grievance. Yet I sincerely feel you must all support your efforts to bring the economy to balance. A wage one at New York. When one at New York. As one who is expecting an increase in income this December, let me say that I will gladly go without it if that will curtail inflation. From the wife of a government employee in Pampa, Texas, we are willing as a family to forego raises in order to see stability in crisis. Let us all hope that Americans will once again realize we must be willing to sacrifice for a long-range goal. Once again, have pride in our country. And then from a man in Klamath Falls, Oregon, your administration's recent freeze on wages and prices means that I will not receive the 4% raise that was written into my contract this year. Nevertheless, I support your efforts to halt inflation, including the wage freeze. The fight against inflation is everybody's fight. I want all of you to know the thousands of others who have written similar letters how deeply grateful I am for your support in this program. It is good to know that most Americans will put the country's interest above their personal interest in fighting the battle against inflation. Now let's look at the future. Because of our strong beginning, because of the determination Americans have shown to pull together during the freeze, I am confident that our further action in stopping inflation will succeed as well. In planning ahead, I have consulted over the past 7 weeks with scores of representatives of labor and business, farmers, consumers, state and local governments. They have been virtually unanimous in their belief that the battle against inflation must be fought here and now. They are together in their determination to win this battle. Consequently, I am announcing tonight that when the 90-day freeze is over on November 13, we shall continue our program of wage and price restraint. We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning. We're going to stay in it until we do win. I'm appointing a price commission to hold down prices. It will be made up of persons outside of government, all public members, not beholden to any special interest group. The price commission will develop yardsticks, will be empowered to restrain price and wage increases, and
necessary amount and to prevent windfall profits. Its goal will be to continue to drive down the rate of inflation. This goal, however, can only be achieved with the active cooperation of working men and businessmen, farmers, consumers, members of the Congress and of our state and local government. That means all of us. I am appointing also a pay board to stop inflationary wage and salary increases, the kind of increases that do not really benefit the working man. For example, in the past 6 years, workers have received big wage increases. But as every wife of a worker will tell you, these increases have practically all been eaten up by a rise in the cost of living. The pay board will be made up of representatives of labor management and health. Both the price commission and the pay board will seek voluntary cooperation from business and labor, but they will be backed by the authority of law so that their decisions will stand. Their staffs will be small. Stabilization must be made to work not by an army of bureaucrats, but by an all-volunteer army of patriotic citizens in every walk of life. The Cost of Living Council, which is headed by the Secretary of the Treasury, will have the power to back up the pay board and the price commission with government sanctions where necessary. Councilor Rumpa. I have today named Councilor Rumpa. Rumpa. To the Cost of Living Council, and he will serve, and he will devote full time as Director of Operations, for the council. Secretary Conley, the chairman of the council, will be on television tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon to answer for some, to answer technical questions, to answer questions on appropriate. Our experience over the past 7 weeks proves conclusive. The vast majority of Americans cooperate wholeheartedly with the system of voluntary restraint. But if there are any who try to take advantage of the patriotic cooperation of their fellow Americans, I can assure you that the government must be and will be prepared to act against them. I can assure you that the government must be and will be prepared to act against it. For that reason, I have today, in a meeting with the bipartisan leaders of the Congress, asked that the Congress extend for 1 year the Economic Stabilization Act, which gives the President the power he needs to act to stop inflation. Holding the line against inflation means holding all the line. Consequently, I am appointing a government committee on interest and dividends to apply yardstick to both these areas. Headed by Dr. Arthur Burns, Chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. The nation needs interest rates as low as they can be to meet the credit requirements of American families in equitable terms to stimulate non-inflationary economic expansion. I am confident this can be accomplished on a voluntary basis. But as a safeguard, however, I will ask the Congress for standby controls over interest rates and dividends. Let me turn now to the subject of profits. Many of my good friends have advised me that the only politically popular position today is to be against all profits, is to be against profits. Let us recognize an unassailable fact of economic life. All Americans will benefit from more profits. More profits fuel the expansion that generates more jobs. More profits means more investment. Will make our goods more competitive. And more profits means there will be more tax revenues to pay for the programs that help people in need. That's why higher profits in the American economy would be good for every person in America. Windfall profits, however, are quite another matter. When wages and other costs are held down, even though prices are also held down, circumstances could arise in some cases that might generate exorbitant profits. In the few cases where this happens, rather than tax such excess profits, the Price Commission's policy will be that business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer by cutting prices. We have lived too long in this country with an inflation psychology. Everybody just assumes the only direction for prices to go is up. The time has come for some price reduction psychology. Let's see some prices go down. This is not only in the public interest, it makes good competitive business sense. And these actions to stop the rise in cost of living, this is what we will do and what we will not do. We will permit some adjustments in prices and wages that fairness demands, but we will not permit inflation to flare up again. We will concentrate on those major portions of the economy that are primary causes of inflation, but we will not hesitate to take action against any part of the economy that fails to comply. We will continue price and wage restraints until inflationary pressures are brought under control, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of American life. When controls are no longer needed, we will get rid of them. We will rely primarily on the good faith and voluntary cooperation of the American people to make this program work. But we will not let any selfish interest escape the fair enforcement of the law. I call upon all of you tonight to look at this program not as Democrats, Republicans, workers, or businessmen, farmers, or consumers, but as Americans. Let us recommend, let us recognize this profound truth. What is best for all of us is best for each one of us. We cannot afford a business as usual attitude anywhere, because fighting inflation is everybody's business. Let us look for a moment to the future. I said that 1972 will be a very good year in the American economy. Let me broaden that statement tonight. The coming year can be more than a very good year for the American economy. It can be a great year for America and the world. It can be a year, the first time in 15 years, in which we can have our goal of prosperity in a time of peace. It can be a year in which great progress can be made toward our goal of full employment without the inflation that robs working people of the full value of the dollars they earn. It can be a year in which the American competitive spirit is reborn. So as we open up new markets for our goods abroad, and new careers and new jobs for our working people, be a year in which we and our international trading partners build upon the most significant initiative in monetary affairs in 25 years. A year in which we replace the crisis-prone system of the past with a new system attuned for the future. It can be a year in which historic events that will take place on the international scene. Events that could affect the peace of the world in the next generation and even in the next century. We often hear people say, these are troubled times. I say these are great and exciting times. We are at the threshold of a great new era, an era of movement, of challenge, and change. We have an unparalleled opportunity to create a better world for ourselves, for our children. Let us dedicate ourselves tonight to make the most of that opportunity, to join in a great common effort to stop inflation and to create a new prosperity in a world.
Successful. As you probably heard in your evening newscast, a
You heard in your news, the evening newscast. The figures bear this out. Wholesale prices in September posted the biggest decline in 5 years. The price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time in 7 years. Our question is, those who do not compete, would you have to call for the public answer? You made possible this strong event on all our thousands of weapons. Thousands of letters reported to the White House since I announced this inflation drive on August 15th. Listen to what people all across America, from all walks of life, have to say about the vote. Here's a letter from a school teacher in New Jersey. I am a widow raising 2 sons on my teacher's salary, and I will lose about $300 because of the freeze. Yet I sincerely feel that we must all support your efforts to bring the economy into balance. From a wage earner in Landtag, New York. As one who is expecting an increase in income this December, let me say I will be glad to do what others give that will curtail inflation. From the wife of a government employee in Tampa, Texas, we are willing as a family to forego raises in order to seek stability in prices. Americans will once again realize that we must be willing to sacrifice for a long-range goal and once again have pride. From a man in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Your administration's recent freeze on wages and prices means that I will not receive the 4% raise that was written in my contract this year. Nevertheless, I support your efforts to halt inflation, including the wage freeze. The fight against inflation is everybody's fight. I want to thank all the thousands of other people who have written me like this since I announced the program on August 15th. I want you to know how much it has meant to me to hear. Most Americans will look their country's interest. Again, until we do it. Workers who actually do the shopping will tell you that these increases have practically all been eaten up by a rise in the cost of money. All volunteer army and patriotic citizens. I have named Councilor Rumsfeld, Councilor Donald Rumsfeld, to be a member of the council. Councilor, to be a member of the council. Serve as a member of the council, and he will direct, he will spend full time as director of operations for the council. Secretary Connolly, the chairman of the council, will be on television tomorrow. 12 then to answer questions regarding the program. In a meeting with the bipartisan legislative leaders today, I have asked the Congress to extend the 1 year. Great, second Congress. We are at the threshold of a great new era. Age of movement, challenge, and change. We have an unparalleled opportunity to create a better world for ourselves and for our children. Let us dedicate ourselves tonight to make the most of that opportunity. To join in a great common effort to stop inflation and to create a new prosperity in the world.